We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hello, friends. Welcome to Pod Maverick Presents Group Therapy. Why are we doing group therapy when there's not a game? That's probably something you're interested in. To be quite honest, it's because this whole thing, this whole week, this whole month has absolutely sucked. The Mavericks are in a pretty bad spot. I'm kind of sad. And frankly, I also want to get more familiar with using this app. If you guys will remember way back in the day when I was doing green rooms and locker rooms for the first time, I would do these on Fridays just to kind of check the pulse of the team, check the pulse of what people out there were thinking. And now we're back. So I'm going to post that we're live on Twitter. My boss called me 1 minute before the show started. That was really fun. And so I'm sorry that I'm a few seconds late, but here we are. So I'm going to post the show here. Here's the link to our live show. Just great podcasting so far, but here we are. Hope everyone's doing okay. If you're curious as to how all this operates, you will want to hop in to the comments up the posted link is the StreamYard link, which you can click on. You get taken to a waiting room, and then I'll bring you up on stage to talk about it. And we will see what's going on. That's a delight to join the show here. Thank you so much, SLD. Miha says hello from Slovenia. If you want to join, and again, guys, all you got to do is have access to a phone. We did this the other night. We're about to bring up my man Chris Haley, who is waiting in the comments. Only got a few people in here so far. I'm going to say this a few times during the show because it's really helpful. If you have not subscribed to our channel, please do so. I will try to get these live show postings up in advance, and then you can see that on the feed and click notify me, and it will tell you via your apps with what's going on as to when we go live. So, you know, we got a few people trickling in. It's a bit of an early show. We'll see how things are going, and let's bring up my man, Chris. Chris, welcome to the show. What's going on, bub?
Hey, Kirk, how's it going?
Good. Nice to see you.
Oh, finally, after a couple of years, right?
That's right.
Yeah. I guess looking forward to tonight's game, at least against for the Timberwolves and Lakers, right? So this is a question. I haven't looked it up. We don't have the tiebreaker against the Wolves, do we?
No. I'm glad you. So this is a good thing to kind of bring up right off the top of the show. Josh Bowe, within the last like hour, basically got into the weeds and started looking at what's happening in the West. And folks, part of why I did this group therapy is because it is bleak, like very, very bleak. So Josh wrote this. Here's where I'm going to flip over to the actual story so that people can see it, and we'll see what's going on here. Josh says, here's where things get tricky. Out of the four teams in the play-in spots ahead of the 11th place Mavericks. So we got the Pelicans, we have the Timberwolves, we have the Los Angeles Lakers, we have Oklahoma City Thunder. Here's the Mavericks down here. Okay. Outside looking in right now. Now, of those four teams, here are the ones the Mavericks have won the head-to-head tiebreaker with. Just
my God.
The Lakers.
And I had the feeling that, I think from off the top of my head, I think it was just the Lakers that we had the tiebreaker, that this this really sucks. Mm-hmm. Like, we're absolutely in, like, the worst spot, and we got five games to either go up or down. God, if the Lakers win tonight, it's like, wouldn't even really matter. I mean, we would have to for sure win out, like, win five straight games. And with this team,
I mean, we haven't won five straight games. Like, I got my friend Dwight, I think his handle is like two. What is it here? It's some numbers to start. It's like 514 to 217. Like, everybody knows him. He does the 21 going on 77 show with SJ. And he was like, well, I really think they can win these, like, five of these next five games. It's like, they haven't won five in a row since the seven in a row streak.
Yeah. And that was kind of a fluke. That was a fraud right there, because we were playing, I mean, horrible teams then. Right. I mean,
it's really dark.
God. So you really have to just focus in on the Lakers. I don't really know how many games they have left, but we're going to completely root against them, obviously, the rest of the way. And the most Maverick thing would happen right now is that we would go like 4-1 and the Lakers would win half their games and we would still be out. Man, I just don't want to give up that draft pick, and I don't want to just end up in that bottom 11 period. Because then, like you said, like from the other day, I asked that question. I mean, we really couldn't move up to the 10th spot, right? As far as the draft odds, I mean.
So. Okay, so let me pull up the standings here. We still can fall. Like, that's the thing. It's just
The Bulls to win. We need the Bulls to win too.
Well, and we play the Bulls on the second to last game of the year.
Oh, of course we do. Oh.
So they're still really trying to make it. And the Mavericks, okay. It's just they're so screwed. The Bulls also only have a top four protected pick, so they really don't have an incentive to play. So let me do the screen share again, because I think this is helpful for kind of illustrating the darkness of this situation. Let's go ESPN standings. Here we go. So when you do, we're looking at the whole league. So you get to the league down here. Here's the Mavericks. It's like they're at 11, right? And so over these next few games, the Mavericks do have the opportunity to fall down in here. It'll be difficult, but just because of the way some of these other, like the Portland Trailblazers are super tanking. It is remarkably bad. The Jazz are still kind of putting up fights here and there, because these teams, like, again, we talk about this at length. Players do not tank. Yeah. That is kind of a given that we are all well aware of. Organizations tank, but the Mavericks just have bad players. Like, if they were to sit Luka or Kyrie, it becomes infinitely harder to hang out and to do this. It's really kind of shocking. But over these next few games, could Dallas fall? Like, so they play Miami and Atlanta Saturday, Sunday, back to back. First of all, they've been in Miami with 3 days, like 3 days in Miami. So I think they might look like they have been in Miami for 3 days. And that is a difficult town. And so
I have this bad feeling, though. Like, let's say if they do sit the last maybe couple games of the season, sit Kyrie and Luka.
Mm-hmm.
I swear to God, if Theo Pinson and McKinley Wright have these great games where we end up beating the Bulls, like, just going to drive us nuts there. I mean, I don't even want to even, like, say I want us to lose at all, but this just sucks where we're at, man. God.
No, it is that kind of bad. It's bleak in a way that, because, you know, to go back to the standings talk, they're on the outside looking in for the play-in. They're on the outside looking in for the top 10. It's a special kind of hell that you've been asking about for the better part of the year. Like, kind of as we would stumble, you'd pop into our rooms and say, hey, where are we with this? Like, what's going on? And it's really something. I cannot believe it.
And lastly, who would be that team that ends up cashing in on all our mistakes? It's the freaking Knicks. Brunson and whatever. I honestly don't even know much about the college players or the ones that are coming in, but I mean, they're saying that this draft class is pretty good. Even, you know, if it's the 10th seed or a 10th pick or 9th pick, I mean, you're still going to have a solid wing defender. God, we need one of those players. But I don't know. This really sucks where we're at, because I was looking forward to going to a playoff game, but I guess I'm going to go to a Dallas Stars game. So it'll be my first one. I lived in D.C. like you. I've been to many Capitals games, but I guess I might be going to a Stars game soon. So,
man, live, like, I love basketball. Don't get me wrong. Live hockey is awesome.
Yeah.
Even if it's bad live hockey. Bad basketball reeks.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
especially this is a different deal.
That this is definitely the most disappointing. And I'm not just saying this lightly. I mean, I've been a fan for 23 years. This has to be the absolute most disappointing season of all time, because since I've been a fan, just the whole you have Luka, mm-hmm. and then you end up having Kyrie, and then we're like historically bad on defense. It's just been a bad season. But let's just see what happens tonight against the Lakers and Timberwolves, and maybe the Lakers will lose and we'll have a glimmer of hope.
Yes, that's kind of the best thing we have going for us, is a glimmer of hope.
I'm on the camera. You can check this out.
Let me see.
Ticket. You see it there?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's my actual ticket that I went to the game.
That's pretty awesome. I have to figure out, like, you guys can tell behind me, like, I'm slowly adding stuff to the room here and there. I have this, this is just terrible. This is terrible video casting, but you know, you guys don't mind. Like, so in my, cool. I have to have my office door open because I don't have a lighting above me. Do you see that, that up there of Dirk shooting over Wade?
Oh, wow.
There was this company that came out, I don't know, mid-teens, called Rare Inc. And all they had was licensed NBA photos, that like the Getty stuff, that and then they put it on prints. And I have like two or three of them. They're all just amazing. But I love stuff like that. I love seeing people's stuff. I would do a whole Mavs podcast just on seeing people's stuff.
Yeah. So. And I just don't want us to, at the end of the day, be like, oh, at least they won it in 2011. I don't want to say that the rest of my life. Like, we got to get one with Luka at some point. It'd just be a travesty. He ended up being 28, 30 years old, and then he ends up learning all these lessons at the Mavs' expense, and then ends up balling out for the Nuggets or whatever, you know, down the road. I just hope that's thinking dark times here, but I don't know. Anything can happen in a season of trades. Crazy things can happen where, you know, we hit lightning in a bottle like last year. I mean, I don't know. There's ups and downs, but let's just take it one day at a time, and hopefully we'll get something good out of this, at least maybe the draft pick. So,
well, you are the man for kicking us off. I really appreciate your time, Chris.
Thanks, Kurt. Appreciate
it. Okay. So we got four people in the waiting room right now. One of them is Brian Zillum, Mavs Moneyball contributor. And then we have my man Tim Cato. And then Dalton Trigg too. So, guys, I'm going to have to bring Tim up, because Tim is an actual working reporter. Working hard right now. Tim Cato, what's going on?
What up?
How are you?
I am transcribing shit. When I transcribe stuff, I look for any opportunity to not do that.
What are we transcribing?
Just finished a Klay Thompson interview I did a few weeks ago. So,
oh, that's pretty cool.
Talking about, should I say? I don't know when this story's running, so.
Well, there are 28 people in this live stream. We're not getting a lot of traction quite yet. It's going to take me months to build up an actual audience. We only have 500 subs. And so it's like there'll be a cresting point where I think people will join these regularly. But I'm just like, I'm trying to get experience with the platform.
I did Dennis Smith Jr. too. I can say it. I'm talking about dunks. Kirk, are you aware of the basketball phenomenon known as dunking?
I other teams have had it. I have seen the Dwight Powell dunks, the rare Luka Doncic dunk, similar as like a Luka Doncic salad, things that just aren't happening very often. But tell me more.
Just about dunking, how it hurts, stuff like that. So it should be a good feature.
That's cool.
Yeah, you know. So I talked to Dennis Smith Jr. Actually, I talked to Austin Rivers, and he kept saying, you know how people have just like these little patterns of speech. He kept saying, you know what I mean? And every single time, I remember 3 months ago when I did this interview, I had to resist the urge of being like, no, Austin, I do not know what you mean. I have never dunked in my life.
So there is a service that Brian Zillum, who's waiting to talk, shared with me called Descript.com that transcribes stuff.
Yeah, I've used a few over the years.
Do you not like those?
It depends on the interview. Long interviews, yes. Short interviews, kind of helps me to actually listen back and get an idea of how they're saying it, what they're saying it, the context I'm saying it, stuff like that. If I'm, and usually for an interview, a lot of the times I know what I'm using. So if it's like an hour long and there's a little bunch of filler, yeah, I do use auto AI to do stuff like that.
But I understand. So
anyway,
this is industry nonsense for people that I'm interested in. Tell me, so what is on your mind as we slog through these final four games?
It's five, isn't it?
Five games. Yeah. Shows you where my head is.
Well, you said four and I thought, well, could be that. What is on my mind? I wish I had a good answer.
Do you agree with what I was just talking about with Chris, that the Mavericks are in like the ultimate, like they're in the worst possible situation of both ends between not being in the top 10 and like this could be, I'm trying not to panic because I don't think panicking is healthy, but it's from a fan perspective, like this is on the edge of like an abyss, like very similar to how, and this is a terrible time, but do you remember when they lost out on Mike Conley and Hassan Whiteside and it was like, oh no, we're not. And then they had to go Hassan Harris. Like it's similar to that. Like they don't have a lot of choice.
Yeah. Yeah. I think you're right. I think that a friend of ours, a mutual friend of ours, texted me recently something about, I like the idea of the Mavs adding a top 10 pick to a core of Luka, Jaden, Hardy, and Josh Green. I think everybody likes that idea, but that is not a core that is going to turn it around and get back to the conference finals next year. That is a core that shifts this team very clearly, not into Luka's rookie year, not that bad, but it shifts the team back into a little bit of a building phase.
Maybe what they should have had in year two if they didn't have Porzingis.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
And we can go back and look at how they built the team, and I know that you guys do this constantly, and it you should. I think there's a lot of value in really
that horse,
how teams are built and how the Mavericks both messed it up, but also were unfortunate in some ways. You know, Mike Pellucci, my 77 Minutes co-host, my old editor, has a theory that not only were the Mavs, just constantly over the past decade plus, the Mavericks have been a step behind on in so many ways. The examples being, you know, the CBA, you guys are the number one people who talk about this, but the CBA, the Mavs thinking, Mark Cuban thinking that just having cap space would be enough to sign players.
Yeah.
Yeah. One that is a little bit more unfortunate is the idea of Kristaps Porzingis and trading for him when drop coverage centers were all the rage. That's where NBA.
This is his great take. I love this take.
It's a fantastic take. And within a year of that trade, the NBA was already shifting to switching and mobility as the number one asset that you can have from a center defensively, from a big man on that end. And it's a really good take. And it's not entirely the Mavs' fault that the NBA, you know, I don't know if you or I predicted this. I'm sure some teams did. They clearly did not fully. You know, there's 100 reasons. You know, there's plenty of reasons why they traded for Kristaps Porzingis, but the idea of him as a defensive, you know, that he was going to be their best defensive player, that was absolutely true. That's what they felt he could and would be for them. And, you know, all the offense aside, he was not that player. And the injuries played a factor in it. He's been decent this year on the defensive end, but he is not the type of player that can ever be, you know, a top 10 or even a top 30 probably defensive player, even if he has value on that end. And so, yeah, that's where the team is. And they made the decisions that put them in a situation where even adding a top 10 pick or trading it, you know, I almost have to wonder is it better to go get a top 10 pick? Is it better to have a top 10 pick and trade it? Or is it better to have those two first rounders that you can trade? Like, I wonder which of the three is most valuable.
To me, So drafts are very different, come and go. But next year's draft is already considered worse than this year's. And I just like the you know, it's the gambler, like, we're finally going to win one. Dalton Trigg, who's waiting to talk. We talk about this all the time. It's like the Mavericks are due to one day to have a piece of good lottery luck. I don't know if it'd be this year, but I just can't help but think that, you know, either if they were to luck into a top four pick, that's franchise shifting. If they were to stay at 10 or 9, that's a different conversation, because then I think you do have to consider moving the pick. But it's just, I can't also, and this is just, hear me out here, because you've covered the team longer than I have. The draft is fun to talk about. Like, I would love to talk about not Kyrie Irving for 2 months. Like, as much as I like him, it's, I don't want to, like, you know, Mavs social media, like, goes down the toilet bowl because there's just, like, we run out of stuff to talk about, and draft is fun. So it's like, that's really where I am right now. So
I agree. I hope they have a pick for that reason. If they do, there is probably more value in trading it, but it's fun to have young players. It's fun to have young prospects. You know, it's been very, you know, the only redemptive thing about the season is Jaden Hardy.
Yep.
And
I thought Josh has looked good at times. We have to figure out why Josh turns into a pumpkin when Luka and Kyrie play. Like, that's something for scientists to study. But I've liked what I've seen in spots.
What really is that?
It's really peculiar. It's like he becomes early stage Dorian Finney-Smith, where it's like, okay, I'm going to do the one thing I'm on the court to do. And it's like, no. What makes you fun, Josh Green, is the fact that none of us know what the hell you're going to do next, including the coaching staff and your teammates. Like, go be the weird X factor. That's my hope.
And what's funny is he's such a fast-tempoed guy that you think that – and I guess he was pretty good when it was just Kyrie, right?
Yep.
But he found ways to be effective even with Luka. Although maybe if we really look back kind of with this theory in mind – he was always much more effective in the non-Luka minutes than with the Luka minutes, because he is just kind of chaotic. He's just a guy who kind of like needs, it almost seems like he needs the pace and tempo to be as good as he can be.
That's an interest. The pace and tempo thing. I like that. That's a really good thought. It's a really good thought.
Yeah.
Well, anyway,
that's what I have. I'm in my Miami hotel room. They gave me a damn apartment. Seems like there's like a bedroom over there, man.
Hey, you got to enjoy life on the road a little bit, because you know what? You might not be traveling very much unless you get to go do something special if the Mavericks aren't in the playoffs.
I think they're going to make me do some playoffs, whether the Mavs make it or not.
Okay.
So, you know, I am not a rooting man. I do not have
not anymore.
They beat that out of you in like
2013.
It's so funny. Even if I had rooting interest in the Mavs, which really has faded, like, what would be stronger than that is rooting interest in what is best for me.
Good stories. Good stories. Yeah. Because like it's liking going to work. And this season has sucked in that regard for everyone. I mean, there were at certain points in the NBA season, particularly during the first 40 games, you'd go to ESPN.com and four of the like top 10 stories would be bad NBA news, be it injury, be it some, and it's just like, this has just been, it's not a great season. But thank you for taking part of your time and hanging out with me. People don't want to hear me. They want to hear people like you. So, and you had a podcast come out yesterday, which is on my feed to listen to. 77 Minutes in Heaven. Who was on with you yesterday?
It was Mike Pelucci. I was very sleepy. Sure. We'll bring it with our whole cohort of co-hosts next
week. Killer.
So that will be more fun. Not that, you know, you should always listen to my podcast, but
you should.
Yeah, but all right, I'm going to go. Thank you for distracting me from transcription. I am going to go enjoy some Miami tonight.
So, outstanding. Just like the Mavericks.
Don't worry about me. Do not worry about me. Tim Cato, doing great.
Good, man. We'll talk soon. Let's hang out when you get back in town.
Yes, sir.
All right, bye.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Okay, so coming up next is my man, Dalton Trigg, but in the meantime, if you want to talk, you want to click that link that's pinned to the top of the YouTube comments, all right? You'll come into a waiting room where I will then bring you on stage. If you don't have the greatest audio or video set up, honestly, I don't care. I want to talk to you. I want to look at you and hear what you have to say. We had a great time the other night after the game. We got a pretty good amount of people in here for a Friday afternoon. Maybe we'll do it again. All right, Dalton, what is happening, my guy?
What's up?
Are you on your phone?
I am. I don't have my laptop with me. So
turn your phone.
Hold on. Let me.
There we go.
Hey, there we go.
Yeah. Okay. So what's happening?
Not much. I'm just trying to kill off the rest of the day.
Sure. Yeah. That's why I did this.
I feel for Tim Cato. I also hate transcribing. I'm glad that, you know, our guy Grant Afseth, he's kind of taken the brunt of that this year. I'm really happy he has, because I can't stand it.
Well, what's on your mind today? What are you thinking during as we kind of get through this process?
I'm kind of, I don't know, man. It's kind of like with what Kyrie Irving said, being at peace and everything. That's kind of how I feel. I mean, obviously, you'd like to see them make the playoffs, but I mean, it's, they don't control their own destiny anymore. They got to have help from the outside. If they don't make it, you know, there's a chance they can keep their pick, which, you know, like you said previously, we're hoping beyond all hope that that they could keep that pick and possibly, you know, go up in the draft for the first time in franchise history, which, you know, it's crazy to me how bad their luck is in the lottery. You know, having the same odds, you know, that one time, what was it, 2019, had the same odds as the Grizzlies and the Pelicans, and the Grizzlies and the Pelicans end up 1-2, and the Mavs end up, I think they went down a spot.
Yeah. No, and it's so there's a scene in Friday Night Lights that's, you know, based on a true story, and we're talking about, I mean, the movie Friday Night Lights, where to get into the playoffs, they have to do a coin flip, a three-team coin flip, where the two teams that correctly flip the coin get in. And that's what that was, where you just, and the Mavericks were on the shit end. Now, why were they on the shit end? Was it because Devin Harris went bananas, and because Luka's guy, well, who was it? Big guy from Tunisia. Yes, Salah Mejri. God. Remember our man, Chuck Cooperstein, he's like, this is a one-guy draft, and Zion Williamson. I still remember arguing with him about that. Guess what? It was a pretty dang good draft. Oh, well, what are you going to do?
Well, I mean, look, I mean, obviously you don't want to say it's a given that they're not going to make it, because there's still five games left.
Yep.
You know, they're pretty close to the I think the Thunder is the team directly above them. It's a one game. The Thunder have a one game lead. Really, it's a two game lead because they have the tiebreaker.
Yep.
But they have a really tough schedule to end the season. They're at Indiana tonight. I don't know who all is playing for Indiana, but they're playing at Indiana.
You might be suiting up. Rick Carlisle might play some minutes.
Yeah.
They're masterfully just throwing out shit on the table. It's bad.
But it's tough. They still play the Suns. I forgot who else they play. They might play the Warriors again. They have three. I know they have three of their last five are really, really tough. And then you have the Pacers game on the road. So you never know what can happen there. I think the Pelicans, you know, I don't really trust the Pelicans, even though they've been playing good as of late. You know, the Lakers, they could still catch the Lakers. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's a lot of different possibilities. And they own the tiebreaker against the Lakers, the only team above them they do own the tiebreaker with. So, I don't know. We'll see. It would be – if the Mavs ended up making the playoffs, then you're going to see my full, you know
– Sure.
Full optimism.
It's fun. Why would you not?
My screen name there, Mavs Ted Lasso. That's where it's really going to come out if they make it, because it's like you have Luka and Kyrie. Luka is just a basketball god in the playoffs. His playoff – I remember
– his numbers are better than you remember every time.
Yeah. I think it was Jeff Van Gundy during that Sixers game on ESPN Wednesday. Sometime during that game, I was listening to the broadcast, and he was just like, you know, I just randomly wanted to look up Luka's playoff numbers because he just wanted, I don't know, look at him, and he was just like, holy crap.
Yeah, they're ridiculous.
Thought it was. So, look, if they get Luka and Kyrie semi-healthy together in a playoff series, I mean, who knows what can happen, but – I don't know, man. I'm just, like I said, I'm at peace with whatever happens. I just hope if they don't make it in, that something good happens with that draft pick, because, I mean, it's been brutal for years, and this team really needs something. I mean, they've messed up so much over the last handful of years.
Well, I got to read this comment, because this goes with exactly what you're saying. Marksman 18 says, when Dallas drafted Doncic, I was promised a good organization by the Slovenian NBA reporters. But since then, I see nothing but a clusterfuck and a delusional owner in his midlife crisis. Bingo! God, I love interactive media.
There you go.
So.
Well, look, I mean, we'll have to see how it goes, but I'm just, oh, shoot. I don't know.
You're good?
Normally, I would do this on my laptop.
This is great. That's why I like doing it this way, because it is this easy. Well, I'm going to let you go here. But before we go, everybody needs to know that Dalton is turning fucking 30 years old tomorrow, which is disgusting. I thought he was in his 30s already. He's not, and I hate him. So I want that on the video record.
Final hours of my 20s. It feels – you said it's gross. That's a fact that I'm still in my 20s. I think it's gross that I'm – actually starting to turn 30, because everybody says when you turn 30 it's just, you know, downhill from there, but
no, every year is great. Look, I started the YouTube channel at 38. There's always possible with growth. So I see my man Shaco in the comments. Welcome, my guy. We got some good folks in here. Share, okay? I need y'all to be sharing and talking about that. Dalton, you got anything else before we go?
No, that's it. I appreciate you having me on. I love the pod rebrand. The logo looks nice. I mean, I think you're I'm glad you're part of the Blue Wire.
That's right. We're part of the same Blue Wire podcast company. That's right.
So this over awesome. There. We'll have to cross content together.
That's right. You guys subscribe to the Step Back Mavs. Check out DallasBasketball.com. I actually have a DallasBasketball.com article pulled up I was going to talk about. We'll see if we get to it. Thanks, Dalton. Talk soon.
All right. We'll see you.
All right, we got a lot of people waiting to talk, so let's do this. Coming up next is my man Brian Zillum. He's a Mavs Moneyball contributor, and I made him wait, even though he was like the second person in here. Sorry, Brian.
No, it's all good. Can you hear me, Kirk?
I can. This is much better than the other night, but I can tell you're on your desktop now. So what's up?
Yes. When in doubt, I'm going to just not even fuck around with my phone. Sure. I'm going to go directly desktop. But no, Tim, Cato, and Dalton always take priority over me. I'm just me, so.
Sure.
Yeah, happy Friday, everybody. Happy birthday, Dalton. Fuck you for finally turning 30.
It's angering.
Yeah. No, like, you know, it's better shit comes up as you're getting older. Like, I can contest to that. So
you just can't eat like you used to. That's the worst part about getting older is the inability to eat. Like, things just start disagreeing with you.
Right. Now, I will say, and you can't drink as much.
See, no. Pandemic, I became a professional drinker of alcohol. So,
interesting.
I was drunk on those podcasts. Not anymore. Can't do that now on video.
Got to behave a little bit.
That's right.
It's Friday. Get your solos ready, people who are watching and listening. I don't want to blame me for having my first official season as a member of Mass Moneyball. Maybe I'm the bad luck for this team sucking, because this has been an interesting experience just throughout the staff and not only the fan, because I feel like the fans and the staff of Mass Moneyball are going through the same thing where nobody wants to do anything or watch
the
team anymore.
No one wants to write anything. Everyone is sad.
But I find it actually fascinating because assuming, you know, if the worst of the worst happened, the Mavs finished 11th, they don't make the plan, don't have the draft pick. I think there are so many different angles that you could talk about. Because I don't think there's really like a right answer ultimately, because there's so many different variables on like how we got to this point. There's not like an overnight fix that you can do to fix.
Oh, no. Like, yeah. No.
That's why to me as a nerd, like I'm so fascinated. And I know I probably talk too much in the Slack channel anyway, but I wanted to ask you just directly, because obviously it's interesting to see kind of like the DFW Metroplex, like media, like aspect that finally get on board where like Kid needs to go. But for you personally, if Kid and Nico were a package, do you keep Nico if they got rid of Kid?
No, I don't see. Well,
I only ask because there's so many different variables of Nico, because, you know, they supposedly Kid and him are good buddies. Right. But then I want to go back to the Christian Wood thing. That is the weirdest thing in this kind of their whole entire relationships, because obviously Nico wanted Wood, but then Jason Kidd, what he said no, which if they're a package deal and communicating all the time, it just seems like they were on two separate universes. Like when that actually happened, I mean, and then maybe Kidd was like, Kidd to a degree was kind of right on Wood being like, I wouldn't have been a petty asshole to him like he was the entire year, but that to me is kind of like weird and interesting. And yeah, they hit on Jaden Hardy.
Sure.
But like, if he's kind of just there just to be cap space guy, if we were resetting the button on everything, wouldn't you want a nerdy guy from Memphis being your GM? Like that's just me, because
that's where it's like, if we're building a 2K roster, yes. But because there's the relationship element involved, I'm not sure what they can do. Because the thing that I have to be fair about is that Kid and Nico came into a situation that was pretty brutal as is.
Fair.
Okay. Like, for some reason, Nico gets credit for the Reggie signing. And that, based off how we know free agency works, it was done before the season was over.
Right.
It's like, but that said, they've done okay. Like, they tried some things, but they didn't try enough, in my opinion. And the Mavericks are just on this like linear path. And, you know, the fact that the Mavericks haven't recouped any draft assets ever is brutal. I mean, their second round picks were getting handed out like candy, and the Mavericks didn't have any options. So,
right. And the reason I asked, should Nico go if Kid goes, is if they are, you know, if there was that ultimate timeline where they actually brought in a coach, I would want his guy to be in there, because I don't, that's the problem, because Kid and Nico had to come in and clean up the mess that, you know, they, like you said, they weren't giving like necessarily the best situation. But if there was a new coach coming in and he has an idea of a roster and Nico has a different idea, I don't want that. I want like, I mean, to me, if it's me, I hire a different GM first, and then you hire the head coach. The way they did it was so convoluted and just back-ass backwards, because the GM should always have control over the head coach. But, you know, Cuban's going to Cuban and do whatever the hell he wants. So there has to be some streamline of communication where, in my world, hypothetically, give me one of those nerdy people in Memphis that we can steal. And then at that point, whether they want to go through a college route or – maybe there's an assistant out there that needs an opportunity, whether it be Sam Cassell.
Well, you have to know. That's the real thing, is you have to have someone in mind. And so my Kid feelings aside, I actually don't think the Mavericks are prepared to do this, which means just like the hiring of Kid, it would be kind of a half-cocked action. And I'm not interested in that. The devil you know is sometimes better than the devil you don't. And that's sort of where I am at the moment. But Brian, you got anything else? Because I see some folks getting, you know, restless.
So oh, yeah. No, if they switch back over. Yeah, I'll let them jump in and I'll hang out and listen. But
you are the man for hanging out, though. I really appreciate it.
Of course. Later, buddy.
All right. Talk soon. Okay, coming up next. So my friend Derek is waiting to talk. I'm going to pull him up here in a second. But I see Janez, who looks to be outside. And anybody that is waiting to talk outside, welcome. What's up?
Hi. A bit nervous. New guy here. So, yeah. So it's kind of, I mean, like I said on the
chat,
on the comment on the YouTube, right? I was kind of, I'm not an NBA guy, but I'm a sports guy, so I know how things should be done, right? Mm-hmm. And you have to. We were promised a good organization that is well run and with a good owner and stuff like that, and instead we have is strange trades. Dallas always somehow trading downwards, mm-hmm. never up, right? I mean, if you look at, let's say, Porzingis trade, right? We traded a lot for Porzingis, and in the end, all that is left is an expiring Kyrie and Davis Bertans. And you lost, in the meantime, you lost Brunson, you lost Dorian, you lost Dinwiddie and a couple of guys that were useful, and you now have a roster that is junk, right? So yeah, so basically that's all I had to say. So,
well, I appreciate the comment, and I'll address it here and let you go. But thank you for it, because I really appreciate you coming up on stage and talking.
Thank you. Bye bye.
Bye. So this is tough. This is really tough for me because I am a Dallas fan. I love Luka, second favorite player behind Dirk. But I bought the idea that the Mavericks were a well-run organization for a very long time, because what the Mavericks do as an organization are very good about telling you that they're a well-run organization. We know what we're doing. We have a plan. Trust us. We're not done yet. All the stuff they leak to local media, which I am ostensibly part of, but I don't really participate other than doing this sort of thing. And so they're so good at marketing themselves as smart that it's taken people a long time to come around to the fact that they may not be dumb, but they've certainly not done a very good job. And that's, you know, Ryan just says in the chat, they have not continued to innovate. So it's really unfortunate. It's very disappointing for me. Okay, coming up next is my friend Derek. Derek's been waiting for a while. I feel bad for not adding him earlier. Derek, what is going on, my guy? You're muted right now. I'll give you a second to rejoin here. I think he was at work today, and he just wanted to. Hey, what's up?
There we go. Yeah.
Derek is a Wolves fan, and he's looking down on us. So how is it up there?
Well, I was a Wolves fan until I started covering this team. And I think by the time the Jimmy Butler fallout happened, and I was like, any part of me that was dormant while I was still doing this as media was killed off then.
Sure.
It's just too much.
I hear that. So no, what are we thinking today? What is the Wolves hope for playoffs right now as you're climbing through this?
I mean, beat the Lakers tonight. That's the big one. Because I think if the Lakers win tonight, they take the seventh seed. Wolves go down to eighth. And it's funny, it's like, it's you know, the way that things went, and despite all the hand-wringing early in the season, I'm kind of surprised they're where they are right now.
Sure.
And, you know, like, to keep the theme of this stream, like, I always thought, like, the Mavs would be in there. Like, that's, you know, and then unfortunately opens the door for a team like the Lakers. But yeah, it's kind of crazy that they've been able to, you know, just tread water until Towns came back. And, you know, Anthony Edwards, I was, you know, pretty incredible in getting, you know, a real point guard in there around Rudy Gobert. And it's like, okay, well, now this team can actually be something and have an identity, which they didn't really have with Russell. I mean, I'm not really a big Russell guy, but, you know, there are definitely different styles there that clearly fit better than the other, you know, based on just, you know, how things have gone since those trades went down.
Well, taking the big swing is really difficult, but then admitting the elements of the swing don't work and doing something new in season is really hard. And for the Wolves to pivot like they did is pretty impressive. The Mavericks just, they never, we heard as Mavs fans, we heard for 40 games that, oh, this is fine. This is fine. Yeah. Oh, look, we went on a 7-game win streak where Luka had to average 46 points per win. Like that's like, that was somehow, it's very difficult because mistakes in team building are hard, but, and I'm curious as to if Wolves as an organization do this, do the Wolves organization tell you how smart they are a lot? Is that a thing that happens?
Not really. I think Rosas for a while kept things pretty tight-lipped before, you know, he was dismissed. And, you know, Tim Connelly, not much really seems to, you know, get
operate
out.
In the darkness,
really,
yeah.
Yeah, a little more on that. I think when it was more David Kahn, you know, it was pretty quick to tell you how smart he thought he was. And that's always kind of a problem when someone's willing to volunteer how smart they are. That usually doesn't wind up working out very well. But yeah, you know, I think one thing too, like when you're looking at like how, like these teams are, you know, midseason, like no one around 40 games in the West, I mean, was really doing that great where you'd look like, well, we're 500-ish, like, mm-hmm. but so is everyone else around us. So, you know, it's not time to panic yet. But then all of a sudden, you know, you have a rough couple months or a good couple months, you know, like I think the ways like the Lakers and the Mavericks have gone in sort of opposite directions since the trade deadline. It's just really interesting how this has become, how things have really started to solidify over the last few weeks there. Yeah.
Well, I'm glad you came up here and talked. You bought me some minutes as I'm figuring out what's next. You get back to work on this Friday. I guess it is probably, it's 4:15. Nobody's working. Everybody's just lying about working.
So. I'm done.
All right, man. You have a good day. Thanks for hanging out.
Hey, thanks, Kirk.
Well, I've known Derek for years, and I think that might be the first time I've actually like talked to him face to face. That's really funny. I love this kind of stuff. All right. Coming up next then is we've had Luka 77 waiting. I don't think it's Luka Doncic, but we're gonna see if it is. Hey, what's going on?
What is going on? I'm not sure what's going on with my phone here. I tried to turn it sideways, trying to get my camera going, but
we can hear you, and that works for me.
That's good enough. That's good enough. So y'all might know me on Twitter as Fire Mark Cuban, or now it's Fire Jason Kidd.
Mm-hmm.
And I know not everybody's a fan of the movement, but I mean, like what Nico said today, I guess how much do we buy into Nico saying that Jay Kidd is the guy? Like, you know, some people think like, oh, he's just saying that because he has to show support right now. And like, I don't know if they're a package deal or not, but it just seems like there's so many excuses available to Nico and to Mark for Jason Kidd not doing better this year. So they seem like they're ignoring the fact that he can't drop an out-of-bounds play. They seem like they're ignoring the fact that, you know, they're 0-13. I mean, besides Maxie hitting that shot.
They were two games away from a 9-game losing streak where they needed to beat the Spurs in overtime and the Maxie game winner.
Yeah, and so, like, Jason Kidd, he has a resume that's long enough. It's a big enough sample size as an NBA head coach to see that he is a average or below average NBA head coach. If you remove his little time in the bubble, and I don't know how much stock you can really put into what he did with the Lakers. Yes, he's well respected. Yes, people like him. But as a head coach in the NBA, his resume says that he is not very good. And the eyeball test alone tells you that he does not have any creative or innovative offensive sets. The fact that Kyrie is being buried in the corner when Luka's getting doubled, Christian Wood, Jaden Hardy had 21 DNP coaches decisions this year, and he had 17, I think it's now 18 games where he played less than 10 minutes. Mm-hmm. Like, is there any other team or any other coach in the league that buries those two guys on the bench like that?
Probably, to be honest, yeah. The Hardy stuff is the one area where coaches just don't play rookies. But as to everything else you said, you probably couldn't see this here talking. I scrolled through Mavs Film Room's timeline, who transcribed a big part of Bennett of the interview he gave today. You're referencing it was on Ben and Skin's show. And honestly, it's one of these things that teams do. And he can't come out and say anything other than sort of, it's not PR stuff, but they're not going to say, oh, the sky is falling and we're fucked. Like, they cannot, he can't say that. But I did feel like he was, at least in elements of his interview, he said, you know, we all are going to be evaluated. And that's better than nothing, because it there's some acknowledgement of the fact that things have really gone poorly. I mean, I think the Mavericks are 4-9 when Kyrie and Luka play together, and almost all of those losses were clutch losses. And, you know, if 2 or 3 or 5 games go different, do we feel completely different about this team? I don't think I would, because I'm kind of categorically out on Kidd and have been since that Lakers loss earlier this year. But it's I don't know what will cause them to move, my man, because the real challenge is, number one, you got to have somebody to replace him. Number two, you really have to be willing to admit defeat. And that's one thing this team has never, ever been good at, that they failed. My friend Matt Moore is waiting to talk in the comments, and he aggregated the piece several years ago after they lost out on Dwight Howard. So we're talking 2013, God, 10 years ago, where they had been chasing Dwight Howard for 2 years. They built everything around going to get Dwight Howard. The moment they missed out on Dwight Howard, within an hour, Mark Cuban said, we'll be better off without him. It's just a constant moving of the goalposts. And so everybody that covers the team or follows the team casually is inadvertently, okay, everything's under control. Look at how confident this guy is talking. And it works. And so I don't know. I found the local media tenure, you know, like Bob Sturm of The Ticket is a pretty loud voice. And dictating conversation locally, he's kind of out wondering out loud if Kidd is going to be kept. And so it's like that those conversations are happening at all is really interesting to me. Does that make any sense?
Yeah. And I think too, like it's barely hit the national media a little bit within the last week or two about Jason Kidd and is he the guy, where it was definitely something that was talked about local. But I think like it's seen it on First Take and Jason Williams. So like it's getting a little bit of attention, and maybe I'm delusional. Maybe some have suggested it's a mental illness, but April 5th is Fire Jason Kidd Day at American. April 5th is Fire Jason Kidd Day. And I know that, again, not everybody is down with the movement, down with the revolution, but I generally feel like if we are able to get, say, 1,000 people, 2,000 people, 5,000 people chanting "Fire Jason Kidd" at the game, does that not put some additional pressure? Does Nico and Mark not hear that? I'm not saying that is the difference, but it certainly has to have an effect if we can get thousands of people chanting that at the AAC.
Here's the problem. Jason Kidd is like 5th on their list of issues. That's kind of, but Jason Kidd is also the easiest thing to handle. So whether they would make him a scapegoat, and scapegoat's not right because he's responsible for stuff, but it's I see them potentially moving on from him, but it would be you know, one of these things where they come out and Jason Kidd's like, I've agreed to step down as coach, kind of thing, not like a firing, like a resignation, like does that make sense?
Yeah, and I guess because he is so beloved in Dallas because of his time with Dirk. And him and Nico have the relationship, and so like maybe they roll it out like that just for it's a better look, and that way he can come back later and still be accepted by the fan base.
Sure.
I can't imagine
I'm grateful to Kidd the player. I'm just not interested in Kidd the coach.
I cannot imagine them starting next season with Jason Kidd at the helm, and like the idea that he's lost that locker room. I mean, they can say everything they want, but it looks clear from the eyeball test that if you come out that flat against Charlotte in back-to-back must-win games, and the idea that he's putting a game plan together, but they're just not executing it, that means they're not listening to you if they're not executing your game plan in must-win games. And so, like, I just don't see how they can keep him, but I also don't think they're going to move on from him because they have injuries, trades, or if we just make shots. They have too many excuses to point at instead of just looking at the raw data and the facts that he's not a good NBA head coach.
Yeah. Well, thank you for hanging out with us.
I appreciate y'all having me on, man. April 5th, Fire Jason Kidd Day. I'll see y'all at the AAC.
You're always welcome back. Talk soon. Okay, coming up next is my man Chico Williams. Let's chat. Tell me what's going on, my friend.
don't know. Can you see me? Can you hear me? I don't know.
We can hear you. We can't see you, but that's okay. We can work with this where I'm the main one talking. What's going on?
All right, cool. Nice having me up. Yeah, I've been around for the 2003 Western Conference Finals when Dirk got hurt. Yeah. I was around for the 2006 Finals where it was stolen from underneath our noses. Oh. I was around for the We Believe Warriors when we got beaten the first round, but I have never been more depressed watching the Mavericks than I am this season.
It's been not fun, and expectations kind of hurt things, but it's also just been bad basketball.
Yeah, maybe overachieving going to the Western Conference Finals last year was the cause of this. But yeah, it has not been a good season. I don't know. Josh Green is doing his best Aaliyah impression with the Bach and Fort song. Like one game, he's like, oh yeah, Josh Green, he could start on this team. And then the next game is like, damn, Josh Green, send him to the G League. Like, I don't know what it is with the hesitation when he's out there with Luka and Kyrie. I it's mind-boggling. Of course, we know the issue what the Mavericks do face. We need some bigs. Yep. Moxie's hamstring is falling off the bone.
An underrated problem that I don't think is discussed enough.
Yes, and then if Dwight gets hit in the face one more time, he'll look like Sylvester Stallone.
He's still pretty handsome for getting hit in the face that much. It's pretty remarkable.
I'm telling you, but I think one more full-on season, because he's well into his 30s now. Mm-hmm. You know, in your 30s, shit starts to form different.
True.
But yeah, it's not been fun. But this is what happens when you skip the organic building, because that's how good Luka was. Because, you know, we went rookie year, missed playoffs, second year, boom, straight in. You know what I mean? They rushed the trade with KP. Boom, yep. Didn't work. Rushed another trade. Boom, didn't work. Rushed this one and out. What is this? You know what I mean? Like, at some point, we have to face the basketball gods. We cheated the process several times. But if we're going to keep it a buck, Mavs were never really good at drafting players.
They don't try. Like, drafting Luka was the most obvious shit in the world, and they should have kept their pick and taken in the Hawks player who Mark said Cuban didn't want because he wanted the cap space, which they didn't use.
They didn't use it. They could have used the cap space and used Kent Bazemore at the same damn time.
Kent Bazemore, thank you. You're the man.
But it wasn't. But I don't get it. What Mark Cuban should have done was just hire you to do PR or, you know, social media, because you literally willed Luka to the Mavericks. I remember it like yesterday.
Great year being drunk and just yelling about Luka.
But yeah, it's not been fun, but I don't think I've literally watched the full Maverick game since probably, I don't know, February.
Right.
My favorite game of all time is when Jaden and Josh went off against Utah. So that's my favorite game for the season so far, but it's not been fun. We need some change. You know what's funny? That Nico says that, you know, Jason Kidd hasn't lost the locker room. Like, he has the air of the locker room, but they're just not executing. Like, right. I don't know how contradictory that is. That's funny. That's not how it's supposed to work.
I mean, maybe he hasn't lost the locker room, but, like, I feel like every huddle is 1, 2, 3, Cancun. And it's been that way for, like, 10 games.
Yes.
So.
Yeah. And, yeah, I just want Luka to know that I, too, am sad. I'm sad of him.
Well, thank you so much for waiting and talking.
Yeah, man. Well, enjoy your Friday.
All right. Talk soon.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
All right. Coming up next is my buddy Matt Moore, who I just saw yawn in the thing. And he's probably, hey, Matt. You guys know Matt Moore from the Action Network and HP Basketball, where he is everyone's favorite follow. What's happening?
How you doing?
I'm fine. I'm just figuring out how to use this thing, and I wanted to do it under less pressure. Like, when I do it at night, my wife has no patience for this. She's like, and my office is off our bedroom. and she's made me do this downstairs. And so it's like, well, where can I, where am I? It's all, I get all these comments like, your sound sucks. I'm like, yeah, I know, because I'm in my living room. I'd have nowhere to do this.
Yeah, so, you gotta set that up. I got a little basement office. I got a comment on the stuff you guys have talked about. Like Lo mentioned it, and you mentioned on the last pod with Josh about Kyrie, Luka pick and roll.
Mm-hmm.
So I have some, so one to consider here, and I don't necessarily know this is why, because you know my feelings on the preferences of your personnel in terms of how they run offense, but I called D'Antoni for an interview before Chris Paul's first season with Houston, and I was like, oh, so are you guys gonna like play? Like, how often are you thinking that you want to work in Harden, Chris Paul pick and roll, like having small pick and roll? And he was like, almost never. We're almost never gonna do that. And I was like, really? And he was like, the problem is if you're playing a good team, and you have your two best defenders are gonna guard Harden and Chris. Like, they will put their best wing defenders on those two guys, which means that if we're putting them in pick and roll action, I'm not leveraging against a bad defender. I'm literally bringing two defenders that are above average because they have to be to guard those guys to the ball.
Right.
And so the thought process was, you can't, like, if you use that pick and roll coverage, you're not, like, I'm trying to think of like a good team that to use this as an example, like the Celtics, right? If it's Smart and Jalen, who's, okay, all right. Sure. But if it's Smart and Jalen, they're still pretty good. If you put those two guys, if those two guys are guarding Kyrie and Luka, and you run that, well, now all of a sudden, if they decide to blitz, you've got two quality defenders on the ball, or they're just switching it, and all you're not gaining any sort of advantage there. Like, there's no way to really game plan that. Now, if you're facing a team that has only one good defender, you can leverage that. But most times, there's actually better ways to get that action going. This doesn't mean that the off-ball stuff is not a problem, because you know, when Luka or Kyrie doesn't have the ball, the other one just kind of like goes and chills out, and it's my turn, your turn, and that's not good. Mm-hmm. There's no lift, right, from the corner on those pick and rolls or anything like that. But it's something to consider, I think, with the idea. We kind of make it out to be this idea of like, well, if you just run pick and roll with those two guys, with your two best players, it's always going to be good. And you're right that the numbers are excellent. Like Zach pointed out how excellent those numbers are in short sample. But I do kind of wonder, just from a long-term perspective, if Kyrie is retained.
Well,
it's going to be a thing.
So when and Matt is referencing Tim McMahon and Zach Lowe talking, the point when Luka was the ball handler, Kyrie was the screener, there were like 27 actions, something like that, and the point per possession was 1.6. And then when it was reversed, it was 1.5. So, like, we're talking ludicrous math here for everyone involved. Now, the problem, I think, was that over the 12 games, had happened like 30 times. So we're talking less than 2.5 times a game. Since then, it has gone up to, I think, four. It's more than four, maybe even eight, which they're running it, I think, is the point. Now, you and I know this. The offense is not the Dallas Mavericks problem. People might not like the way it looks, and that's a stylistic preference, but they score the shit out of the basketball, even with like JaVale McGee playing minutes and Reggie Bullock being unable to hit the broadside of a barn. Right. It's the defense.
So I want to ask you about that, because you know, you had the comment the other day about Nick's comment, Angstat, talking about chemistry, right? About how like these guys are all, like most of these guys have still played together. So I brought this up the other day. Like, I went through the defensive ratings for the Mavericks over the last 5 years, and it's like 17th, 22nd, 24th, 7th.
That 7th is such nonsense. It's based off of one good month.
So, like, that's the thing, right? Is like, was last year just like this is the, so I think this is the one of the things to kind of learn from this is really, I'm not trying to drive the knife in, but like, genuinely, like, last year's success was a negative for Mavericks fans.
It's very similar to the Hawks and the Trailblazers.
Yeah. Like, the Hawks comparisons are crazy. Like, makes the conference finals, immediately regresses back to a 500 team.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, it really is kind of proof that if you don't have, like, sustainable long-term growth with a good underpinning, you're in real trouble. Like you have to grow this the right way. And I think, you know, you and I've talked about this, about how the timeline on Luka got shifted up and all those types of things. I do want to ask you that though, in retrospect, with 2020 hindsight, do you wish that they had tanked for a few more years and just,
oh yeah, I didn't like, so I have tweet evidence. I know that's a like lame ass thing to say. I was not a fan of the Kristaps Porzingis trade because of our friend Jared Dubin, who wrote up that that Kristaps had 13 lower body injuries before he was traded to the Mavericks. He is a man made out of paper mache, and he's about to sign another 9-figure contract. He's actually played pretty well, but
yeah, he's been good.
He was tiered higher than the kind of player he really is. If he's your third or fourth best player, you're going to have an okay team. If he's your second best player, you're going to suck. Sorry, just the nature of basketball. But I really wish they would have waited. The Luka, Real Madrid fan, the Real Madrid fans and the Slovenian fans, I remember were telling me this, who were like, Luka is not going to put up with losing. He's not going to do it. Everywhere he's gone, he's won. Now, the challenging and flat, frankly, flat-out awful part is if you go look at the Sacramento Kings, you go look at the Oklahoma City Thunder, you go look at the Memphis Grizzlies, all the teams that were around the Mavericks when they drafted Luka in 2018, and you look at the roster side-by-side comparison, what the Dallas Mavericks have done is a basketball war crime. And I have been screaming this for 4 years, only to be gaslit into being told, oh, no, it's fine. It's fine. And it has not been fine. And here we are relying on the good graces of Kyrie Irving. What a dark place to be. Now, I gotta put a caveat with that. Kyrie, the experience has actually been pretty fun. He gives, you know, you and I've talked offline about how certain NBA players simply won't talk basketball. Like they think it's beneath them to answer your questions. Kyrie answers interesting basketball questions when asked about it. I'm not sure if you've seen some of this stuff. Grant Affseth, thedallasbasketball.com, loves asking him nerdy basketball shit. Like, what are you thinking when you're coming off of such and such action? And he'll answer. So I've not hated the Kyrie experience. But that should be a canary in the coal mine, because that means things can get worse. Because he's been the light.
Yeah, when you're like, well, the Kyrie thing's actually been okay, but everything else is terrible. That's concerning.
Yep.
It's crazy because like I am usually first in line to blame Kyrie for his role in various disasters. But like on the other end of it, you know, it's been like when the clusterfuck comment came out, everybody was like, eventually it's just you, dude. And like all these kind of comments, I'm like, guys,
and
like,
his quote wasn't even that bad.
I'm like, he hasn't done anything. Like give him time. He'll screw up on his own.
I know. Anyway, I did have something that I wanted to ask you though, specific. Okay. You're the one who told me this. You're the one who said that if you fire a coach, you better damn well know who you're replacing him with. Like the Mavericks knew they were going to replace Avery Johnson with Rick Carlisle. Like that was just written in the stars and it ended up working. So one of the things I've been talking with a lot of Slovenian fans about is that when Luka was with Real, he was coached by two like basketball lunatics, like legendary coaches who rode his ass hard. I've not pushed back because I really do think Luka needs someone to effectively coach/parent him into challenging him to make him do great. Like there's this incredible clip. I can't remember which coach it was where this guy's lighting into Luka on the sidelines for fucking up. Luka goes out and drills three straight threes to like backbreak the game. That's the sort of stuff Luka responds to. Like we've seen that for years. I don't see an NBA coach in the modern, like just way this stuff goes down, that would be willing to do anything like that at all.
There's a couple things here. One, Luka was a lot younger.
Right? I agree. That's when you're 16 and 18, it's like he's lucked. That's my pushback point. Where if he's now 24 and he's one of the five best basketball players alive, while having beverages, while eating what he wants, and he's learned that he can live life his way, and that's been my pushback.
He's he's gonna make 30. He's making $35 million a year, and he's. Like, you know,
you can't
like,
tell them nothing.
You can't tell them anything. What are you supposed to be able to do? You know, and like he's going through whatever he's going through. But I just tend to always kind of revert back to really smart GMs, really smart executives have shared this line of thought process, and like they all kind of agree this is true, that everyone talks about culture. For the most part, culture is defined by your best player. Like, that's what defines your team. That's what defines your identity. That's what defines your culture. And like that, hearing that and thinking about that has reframed a lot of how I look at various teams. And it's like good and bad, and for a lot of it. And I think you're seeing this with the Hawks. I think the Hawks are trying to like course correct on that because they took on the identity of Trey. I think that's been difficult for them. And so, you know, I think if Luka, I'll put it this way. If Luka wants to be coached harder and wants to be held more accountable, he should probably relay that. Like, there needs to be like, and he doesn't publicly, right? Maybe he's done it privately. Maybe he said that, like, he's stormed into the office and, like, you know, been like, why don't you guys get some accountability in here? Maybe he's doing that. But I think until you see that kind of a shift, it is okay to be like, this is probably something that he needs to get to, that he needs to, like, whether it's holding himself accountable or asking for the organization to hold him more accountable. To me, like, there's a gap there in the absence. As far as, like, coaching goes, that one's, again, that's like really tough. Is like, try to find it. Like, there's not a Rick Carlisle out there right now. Like, there's not one of those guys. And so many of these coaches are struggling with the fact that they just are like, I can't get my players to do anything. I can't get them to drive.
In the chat, we had a Slovenian commenter. I can't remember his first name at this point. His handle in there is Marksman18, but he says, Luka needs a coach that possesses with a pedigree that possesses authority. That's all. Not someone watching like kid. One thing you'll notice is Luka has no problem taking blame, but it cannot be a one-way street. I think that's a great comment, but I also think my pushback would be is that with how much money these guys make now, the superstars, everyone has sort of figured out that they can't do much. I agree that's actually what Luka needs, but a coach with pedigree that will have authority. Phil Jackson's like 80 years old. There's no one left. Jason Kidd is a first ballot Hall of Fame point guard he's one of the NBA's 50 best players of all time, and he can't get through to Luka. Now, I will say, I don't think he's tried. I think he's been big time. I'm gonna coax and I'm gonna relay on my 10 assistants to do the job. That's actually, I think, a bigger criticism of Kidd than anything, is he's just been sitting there. You've seen the games. He doesn't do the work.
Right. Right.
Anyway.
So like, trying to find the right personality, I think, is going to be like a real challenge. I think it's going to be difficult, but also like a lot of this is going to be on Luka to like establish like winning habits, and whatever reason that's not happening. Like there's a reason that in our Slack, I do love that nickname, the Crown. Like, heavy's the crown, man. Like, this is how it goes. If you're going to be the MVP favorite two seasons in a row,
and you will be next year too.
And not even really get within range. Like, it's on you to really be able to make this run. You're going to have to like up this level of stuff. Oh, I like Ryan Parker's idea in there of getting Draymond. That's a good idea.
Well, that's kind of like if you're not going to be held accountable by your coaching staff, then you have to be held accountable by a peer. That was why I pushed so hard for Goran. But one of the things that was pointed out to me is that even this past summer, Luka didn't really have much interest in listening to Goran. Like, one of the reasons they lost is because the night before they were fucking around and out late having drinks and, you know, maybe not drinking, but they were up late and they didn't perform their best. And that was like covered by some, I don't want to call it, it was never like confirmed, but it was covered by like some outlets that I don't know how reputable they were. And that sort of stuff just catches up with you, and you got to have a team that will pull through in the, you know, it's like, I keep making the joke, the Mavericks have been in Miami for 3 days. Like my one of two things is going to happen. Kyrie is going to be coming out playing like a whirling dervish. And if you don't know why I'm saying that, I'll just say that I'm going to stop talking. Luka might have a great they're going to look terrible. Like, they're going to either destroy the Heat or they're going to roll over and die. There is no in between. And then they play the Hawk. Like, it's just, this is such a frustrating season. Such a frustrating season.
It's going to turn.
Well, thank you for taking part of your day and hanging out with me.
Hey, thanks for having me, man. Have a good one, y'all.
All right. Bye, Matt. Matt is the man. I know you guys don't like his Twitter presence, but he's a fun guy. I like Matt. One of my good friends. All right. Frangel, you've been waiting forever. Thank you so much. I hated seeing you in the chat there. I'm like, oh, God, I got to bring him up. What's going on?
No worries. I'm doing good. How about you?
It's Friday. I don't have to cover a basketball game tonight, and then the two games this weekend start early. So I'm okay, all things considered.
Well, since this has been a pretty negative therapy session, I want to put some positive. I don't know if you could see the link that I put it on, the Basketball Index link, the Twitter page.
Yep.
But they were showing a chart of all of the rookies and who is the best pick and roll ball handlers and who can create the best it's like shot presence or something like that.
So I'm pulling it up and people in the chat can see it.
Yep. So if you click on the video, I think if you click the second image there, it'll be more clear for people on YouTube. But if you look at the very top, so up is good, right is good. So if you look at all the way to the top and all the way to the right, you'll see among rookie wings and guards, it's
Jaden Hardy. Okay.
Jaden Hardy is one of the best shot making and pick and roll ball handlers. And that's actually such a good thing. Like, I know last couple of years you've been talking about how the Dallas Mavericks haven't been able to develop players, haven't been able to draft good players. But seeing stats like these, this really is encouraging that maybe they found something. Maybe, I don't know if it's just maybe him getting minutes. I don't know maybe if it's the 1 year in the G League that helped him out, because he was supposed to be a pretty early draft pick, if I remember correctly, right? When he was coming out of high school.
Highly ranked recruit. And then he played so badly in the G League, he basically lost all juice to the point to where I think if there were a redraft, the Mavericks they were going to take him had they not traded for Wood with that pick. Mm-hmm. He probably should have gone in the top 25 if we're, you know, even based on last season. So him and his development is one area where I think Jason Kidd actually deserves some credit. We had the guy in here earlier who mentioned he's really frustrated that Hardy had 21 DMPs. Look, when the Mavericks are still trying to make the playoffs, they're not going to give a rookie 15 minutes. He has to earn his minutes, and he did earn his minutes. You go quarter by quarter, he plays a little more every quarter, and the fact that they got him now in the final stretch run playing minutes matters, and I'm grateful for that. That is one big thing.
Yeah, I honestly, one of those things, and I think it's kind of been a weird dichotomy where we thought – maybe at the beginning of the year it was going to be Josh Green and then Jaden Hardy was going to come in later. But I feel like it's kind of been the opposite, where Josh Green started off the year hot, but it's felt like at least he's kind of fallen off, and it's been Jaden Hardy who's really picked it up. And I don't know why that's happened.
Well, that has to do with pedigree. Hardy had played a ton of basketball in his life. He knows what to do. It's a matter of figuring out how to do those things at the NBA level. Josh Green was terrible for 2 years. And anybody that tells me otherwise, I'm going to yell at them. He was bad. I'm sorry. He just was. And this year, he has come in looking like a new man at stretches. Now we've seen his confidence wax and wane. But overall, I've been extremely pleased with the development, because I have mentioned on this show, I thought Josh Green was not an NBA player. And so comparatively, I'm so happy with what Josh has given the team, even though it's been kind of lately. Over the course of the year, like, it's, I feel like he's, I hope they're going to sign him to a second contract. So I'm pleased with that.
Yeah. I think it's just one of those things where Luka just got too good too quickly. So if there were players better, Dallas couldn't get them because they had to go on win now mode so early. It's similar to what happened to the Cavs when they had like young LeBron.
Absolutely.
By his second year, they had won 50 games. It was absurd. So they had to try to go on win now mode. I think the one positive is at least no one wants to go to Cleveland. Like, people, like, even if you're a player back then and you thought, man, LeBron, he's going to be the next big guy, no one wanted to live in Cleveland. Dallas is at least a place where I think players will say, I can live in Dallas. So I think that's one of the things that, I don't know if the front office can convince guys, but I think that's one advantage that I think the Mavericks can do better than those LeBron squads, is that they can actually get people to come into Dallas, because players want to play. I'm sure players want to play with Luka, but it's also not a bad location to be in. So sure. I think that's a big advantage for the Mavs, and hopefully it's something that they can take advantage of in the next couple of years, because I think Luka's prime is about to come up here in the next like 2 or 3 years. So,
well, with how good he is, Luka's extended prime had like we could make a strong argument for Luka's prime beginning in his second year in the league. Mm-hmm. And you know, he's gonna make all NBA this year, I think, which will be the fourth time in a row. He's not gonna make first team this year, and I don't think he should, but he's such a talented player, and this is gonna be such. It's why we started off the show talking about like the concept of whether they need the draft pick or not, because I think if they fall out either, and that's going to happen organically if they fall out and they end up with like keeping the pick, that gives them a little bit of flexibility to do something immediately. I think if they miss out on the pick, they have to re-sign Kyrie. And then at that point you're paying Kyrie and Luka a combined, I think in the neighborhood of $90 million next year. You don't have cap room. There's nothing to do there. It's, you know, and they could maybe sign somebody into some of the space and sign him over going, but you know, Cuban's appetite for being in the tax and paying a bad team is probably pretty low. He won't come out and say it, but I wouldn't want to pay for a crappy team either. It's just, he's the reason the team is not super great. So they have a lot that, you know, these next like 4 weeks are going to determine the next 3 years.
Right. Even if they don't make the playoffs, which is looking less and less likely, one thing is that it looks like this draft class is a really strong draft class. So if they're able to get into the top 10, I think they could get someone that's going to be a really big piece for the future. So hopefully we'll get to see that in the next couple of years. So
yeah,
that's all I had.
Well, thank you for joining us. Appreciate you.
No worries.
Okay, so before we get out of here, I wanted to go over one thing that I saw on the Blue Wire Network. It was something that I'm not leaving us on a negative note, but it made me laugh. So I'm going to present this. We're going to go take a look at it. It is from the Road Trippin' Podcast. Okay, Kendrick Perkins went on the Road Trippin' Pod. If you don't know what the Road Trippin' Pod is, it is that podcast with a couple of former Cavaliers. Let's go. Who all is in this? Oh yeah, it's Richard Jefferson and Channing Frye. Duh, I knew that one. So all right, I got the volume turned up, so hopefully we'll all be able to hear this. Let me do. Where did it go? There we go. All right.
In one word, right? If you could describe the Mavericks in one word right now, what would it be? And do they play past the regular season? What does that mean for Kyrie and Dallas?
They are down like a Honda on four flats.
This is killing me.
Already sitting low. So imagine it on four flats. I don't really know if Luka could really pair up with another superstar like that. I'm watching his bad body language. I never see him be encouraging. I always see him pouting. And it's not just to the officials. It's like somebody missed a shot and it's just like, oh, Dallas is done. I don't believe that they even get into the play-in tournament, to be honest with you. And I think Kyrie bounces. I think he leaves.
I of course. Just thanks so much for that, Draymond. Kendrick Perkins. I don't think Kyrie leaves. The money's going to be too rich. I think some of the other stuff he might have had a fair point on, but I do think Kyrie and Luka can play together. The offense is amazing. Oh man. Well, so we play tomorrow night against Miami Heat. So if you guys haven't yet, please go subscribe to the show. Go subscribe to the show. I'll post the link to the live show. You know, the general time frame of when I want it to be, probably at some point tomorrow, you'll be able to click and get notified for when we go live. I hope you guys had fun. I didn't mean to go for an hour and 20 minutes, but, you know, I like talking basketball with you people. Great times. Please subscribe and leave comments. You know, my man Leo mentioned that earlier, like leaving comments and liking stuff that we post helps. It becomes like a positive feedback loop. So I need y'all's help. You know, listen to the show on Blue Wire. If you haven't, at least give us a download, play it in the background. Thanks so much for spending part of your Friday with me, and I will see you guys tomorrow on Saturday. Go Mavs.